Preacher, would you pray for us, please? Reading the Bible every day, praying every day. If you need help with it, tell us. We'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read by schedule. Getting closer and closer to the Bible Reader's Banquet. Everyone that reads their Bible through in a year can come free of charge. It'll be a good time of fun, food, and fellowship. Okay, what book are we in? John is correct. Over here on this side, this section only, Matthew wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a... That's right, king. In this section, Brother Mark wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a...
Servant.
That's right. In this section, Brother Luke wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a... Man is right. In this section over here, Brother John told us over and over and over again that the Lord Jesus Christ is God is correct. Morning, Brother BB. Good to see you, brother. Okay, we finished up. Let's review a little bit in John chapter 2, verse 24 is where we started last week. A little bit of review here again. It said, Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. That'll embarrass you right there. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Isn't that bad? And there was a man, chapter 3. Talk about Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Let's just remember again, he's still a man. Rulers are still man. The Pope's not God. Mary's not the mother of God. And the Buddha, he was either a man or a statue. I don't know. He wasn't God. Allah's not God. Muhammad's not God. These are men. Even though they're rulers, they're men. They're men. And can only be lifted so high. Now, we quit in verse 16, John 3:16, maybe the most famous verse. I don't know that it's the best verse, most famous verse. That or maybe Psalm 23 might be more famous. I'm not sure. But we didn't have to quit there. We could go for a week on maybe like Morehouse did on John 3:16. But we're not going to. I don't know if I could. But it's worthy of it. Just like the whole Bible is. But that's where we quit anyway. Now the Lord's still talking to Nicodemus. Don't forget that. Now, verse 17, John 3:17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God sent Jesus. When He got here, He's an ambassador of a foreign land, of a foreign king. But He's not an ordinary ambassador. You're not dealing with the ordinary right here. There's been four Gospels written about Him. Many epistles, many, many books. The world could not contain all the books that were written about Him. But they all fail to explain. I try every Sunday morning, but I don't get it told. He's bigger than that. Let me just go ahead and tell you, He's bigger than that. And then verse 18, many times verse 18 is my own personal favorite. Even above 16, it just strikes home here. Let's look at it. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth... That was me for 21 years. For 21 years. But he that believeth not is condemned already. That was me for 21 years. I was condemned already. And then one day, someone opened the Bible and showed me I needed Jesus in my heart. And here's why. Because he hath not believed. That's why I was condemned. Not because I hadn't behaved, although I hadn't. Not because I hadn't been baptized, although I hadn't. Not because I wasn't a Baptist, although I wasn't. But that wasn't why I was condemned. It's because he hath not believed. And it's not just believed in anything. It wasn't a Reader's Digest or Mohammed again. No, hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what I had failed to do for 21 years. I was negligent. I was a Christ rejecter. That's what I was. It's not necessary to do anything wrong. We're condemned already. What the verse? From birth. Because of our great-great-grandparents. Our position's in prison. And we're being asked, will we accept the pardon? Condemnation. That's what we're talking about here. There's two classes of people. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. That's one class. He that believeth not is condemned already. Brother Tom talked about those two classes this morning. You can get in. It's a great verse. It tells who's saved and why. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. It tells who's lost and when. But he that believeth not is condemned already. It tells why the lost are lost. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Some say verse 15 through 18 is a miniature Bible. Before I read it, I want to show you another great verse. These are some of those verses we talked about where in the book of John alone it says like 99 times, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is some of those verses right here. Look at verse 36. It's a great verse. We could spend a week on it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let's do start in 15 and read this miniature Bible, 15 through 18. But whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Anybody believed in Him? Yeah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believe, 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 believe. That's the message. That's the message of the Bible. And that's what I had neglected to do. Either save now or condemn now. Everything's right now. Right now. Today, right now, in Sunday school, you're either saved or condemned. One or the other, right now. Sins do not condemn. The sin of unbelief is unpardonable. If I had continued rejecting Christ, it would be unpardonable.
Right.
Unpardonable. Sins are the fruit of unbelief. It wasn't the things that was wrong, it was Rick. It wasn't the things I did, it was Rick. Rick. Rick was the problem. I need to believe. What do I need to believe? Well, number one, I need to believe that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
About what? Well, everything.
Right.
I was wrong. I am wrong.
Yeah.
Number two, what I need to believe, Jesus is God.
Right.
That's why we're called Christians. We believe Christ is God. If we believe Buddha was God, we'd be Buddhists. But we don't believe that. We don't believe that. Then, I believe I'm wrong. I believe Jesus is God. I need to turn from my way. My way's taking me this way toward hell and the grave. I need to turn from my way and turn to Him for forgiveness of sin. The reason we don't ask for forgiveness is we don't do anything wrong. Verse 19. At least that's what we think. That's what I think. 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Light was hid out in Bethlehem in a body. In a body. At Bethlehem, light invaded this dark world. We hate light because it reveals how wicked and evil we are. Those bitten by the serpent in verse 14 could be saved if they believed enough to look.
Right.
A look.
Yeah.
Look and live. Look and live. It could not have been made easier unless I'm stuck in my blind unbelief and refuse life for a look. Unless I'm stuck in my blind unbelief and refuse life for a look. Salvation's of the Lord, the big Lord, the capital Lord, the big L, big O, big R, big D. He did it all. He did it all. The Father thought it. The Spirit wrought it. Wrought means work. He worked it out. And actually what that work for him was wooing. He was wooing me all along. He was drawing me to him. Showing me the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The Father thought it. The Spirit wrought it. The Son bought it. The Bible taught it, and I caught it. Verse 20. I don't know if I can. The Father thought it. He thought about it back in chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world. He thought about it. He said, I know what I'll do. The Spirit wrought it. He said, I'll work it out. Don't worry. They're having a conversation among themselves there in verse 26. The son said, let me go. I'll buy it. I'll pay for it. The son bought it. This taught it.
Yes, amen.
November 16, 1974, I caught it. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, that's why you came this morning. Saved people will come to the truth. When you hear the truth, you'll recognize it and you'll come to it. You'll go toward the truth. That's what saved people do. Saved people go to church. It's a contrast here. This is the greatest sermon delivered by the greatest preacher that ever lived, and it's to one man. Nicodemus. If baptism were essential to salvation, Jesus would have baptized Nicodemus then and there. 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples unto the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John was also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. And John was not yet cast into prison. The only way you can baptize is with much water. You can't baptize with a glass or a bowl or a thimble or a laver. There must be much water. Some seek cleansing in religion, some in attendance, some in giving, some in doing, some in being faithful. Being faithful is not the same thing as having faith. I'm unfaithful. You get your 28 years Sunday school pen. That doesn't mean you never miss. What about my sins in the past? See, I've been unfaithful, but if I put my faith in Christ, He never missed once. He never disobeyed His parents. He never stole a cookie. He never told a lie. He never looked at a Playboy magazine. He never held a cigarette. He never held a can of beer. I can go on His faithfulness. I can go on His faithfulness because I don't have any. I wouldn't go on being faithful. I'd go on faith. I'd trust Him. He did everything right. He dotted every I, crossed every T. He kept all 613 Old Testament laws. There's not just 10. He did it all. He's not from around here. He's not like us. He's from somewhere else.
Yeah, that's good.
It's in verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He is of the earth, is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Right here, verse 23, that's the baptism of repentance. John the Baptist is much water. Matthew 3:16, we see the baptism of the Redeemer. Matthew 3:16. 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Then you got the baptism of the redeemed, of the believers, of you. Romans 6. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that was instituted after the Lord's death. You can see it in Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Let's go back now to 25, John 3, 25. Then there arose a question among some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ," but that, this is John the Baptist talking, "but that I am sent before him." Verse 29, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." On your handout there, you don't have to agree with it. We'll discuss it later. I got a couple on there also I'm not sure about. We're talking about Jesus and the Bible. We're talking about the groom and his voice, the written word and the living word, ways they're alike on your handout. Well, a holy word and a holy Savior. A holy Savior couldn't write anything except the holy word. That's all it could be. Look, they're both righteous. They're both precious, they're both truth, they're both in heaven, they're both spirit, they're both perfect, they're both eternal, they're both... I'm talking about Jesus and the Bible, that's what I'm talking about. They're both like, they're both tried and proven, they're both right, they're both pure, they both judge, they both bless, both produce joy and rejoicing. I'm talking about Jesus and the Bible, that's what I'm talking about. They're both a reward, they both read your mind. They both run, they both save souls, they both conclude. They both raise up, they both show, they both have power. They're both everlasting, they're both declaring, they're both sweet, they're both comfort. They both preach, they both bring strength, they both work in me. Neither can be broken, both see the future, both have mercy, both grew, both were wonderful. I'm talking about Jesus and the Bible, the bridegroom and his voice. That some rejoiced when they heard it. Both can be declined, both deputed, or deputed. Both can hide, both can be mediated. Both are counselors. Both bring understanding and are understanding. Both quicken, both are good. Both can be erred from. Both are longed for. Both are our hope. Both to be confessed. Both to be loved. Both have songs. Both to be believed. Both can be esteemed. Both are as seed, both are faithful. I'm talking about Jesus and the Bible is what I'm talking about. Both can be known, both dwell in us, both are upright, both bring wisdom, both to be feared, both to be sure, both are to be spoken of, both bring heritage, both can be considered, both watch us, both are hated and despised, both deliver, both quicken, both are life and sustain life. I'm talking about Jesus and the Bible. That's what I'm talking about. Both heal, melt, talk, are able, holy, both bring sight, both to be received, both bring love, both sanctify, both are gracious, both are awesome. Yeah. both our shield, both our buckler, both help, both convert, both are divider, both are alive, both are worthy, both can be forsaken and forgotten, and man wants to be far from both of them. That's what I did. I don't know about you. That's verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly. Do you ever rejoice greatly over the Bible? Because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Verse 30, again, verse 30 could be preached on for a week. He must increase, I must decrease. That's verse 30. Verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. I'm talking about he's over all creation. I'm talking about he's over the church. He's over all the angels. He's over all the universe. He's over all. He's over all. 32. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testified, no man received his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Verse 36 again. He that believeth on the Son, the big S Son, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. We're talking about believed not or obeyed not, or the path of salvation or the path to damnation. The prerequisite is believe. Rejection is believe not. Everlasting life or the wrath of God abides. Hath the Son or shall not see life. Verse 36 is now. All of it's true right now. One or the other now. Verse 7. Last week we talked a little bit about the must. Let's look at it one more time here. Verse 7. The must of the sinner. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Verse 14 is the must of the Savior. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then verse 30 is the must of the servant. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's what the Bible says. This verse 31 now, spend the rest of our time on verse 31. Again, one more time it says, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. Let's see if we can see that over in Colossians 1 for a minute. You know me, I have to start in verse 12. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us. Have you been delivered?
Yes.
From the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Let me go ahead and say the versions leave out through His blood right there. They'll say in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, let's see if we can see the superiority here in verse 15. He's superior over all because He's the image of the invisible God.
Right.
Matter of fact, He's the spitting image.
Yeah.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And then in verse 16, He's superior in creation. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And then in verse 17, we see He's superior in order. He's before all things. In order. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He's superior in power. by Him all things consist. Verse 18, He's superior in His position. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And then verse 19, He's superior in content. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. Now, also on your handout, Napoleon Bonaparte testifies. He was discussing Christ with Henry Bertrand, who did not believe. And here's what the Emperor of France said. Quote, "I know men, I tell you that Jesus Christ is not a mere man." Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why. It's because He's above all.
Right.
Superficial minds see a resemblance between Him and the founders or somebody else, the founders of empires, and little g gods of their religion. That resemblance does not exist. That's imaginary. You can't even... Let me go on. There is between Christianity and the forms of pagan worship, I'm going to go ahead and say religion, the distance of infinity. You can't measure the distance between religion and Christ. That's what Napoleon said. You don't have to believe me. That's what Napoleon said. Everything! Napoleon said, everything in Christ astonishes me. His spirit awes me. No. He didn't say His spirit awes me. He said His spirit overawes me.
Yeah.
And His will confounds me. Can I say amen right there?
Yeah.
He commands us to believe and gives us no reason besides His own inspiring claim when He said, "I am God."
Yeah.
Now the preacher showed us that on Wednesday night. Chapter 12, verse 45. Is another place He said it. It's through and through the Bible. Now let's look at this one in 12:45. Just one more time, Jesus said He was God. And He that seeth me, seeth Him that sent me. See, He's not from around here. He's from somewhere else. Verse 31, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." Napoleon's talking now. Between him and others in this world, there's no possible comparison. You know why? He's above all. Yeah. He's truly a being by himself. I capitalized that H on my paper. He's truly a being by himself. His sentiments, the truths which he announced, his manner of life are unexplainable. Philosophers who try to solve the mysteries of the universe by their empty dissertations are fools. That's what Napoleon said. Christ speaks with authority. The closer I come, the more carefully I examine Him. Everything is above me and has a grandeur which overpowers. That's what Napoleon said. I search in vain in history to find one similar to Jesus or anything that approaches the gospel He preached. Everything about Him is extraordinary. You know why? He's above all. He's above all. Now the rest of this, I'm not sure where it came from. Probably John Phillips, I'm not sure, but it's almost as good. No matter what the circumstance, Christ's preeminence and supremacy always came to the surface from His birth all the way to His death and resurrection. He was born in the meanest of circumstances. If you remember, there were no hospitals. There was nothing. Yet the air above was filled with the hallelujahs of the heavenly host. Even though His lodging was a cattle pen, a star drew distinguished visitors from afar to honor and worship Him. You know why? He's above all, Brother Ted. That's right. Growing up, His relatives were inconspicuous, just like mine. Uninfluential, just like my relatives. Yet in infancy, He startled the king. In boyhood, Jesus puzzled the doctors. In manhood, Christ the Creator ruled the elements of nature, defying the laws of gravity by walking upon the water and then calming a raging sea. Multitudes were healed without medicine by the Lord. Funeral processions were halted as the Lord raised the dead. Huge crowds were fed with small portions of food that He miraculously multiplied. How did the Lord do these things? Brother Teddy, how? Above all. Jesus never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of the world could not hold the books that have been written about Him. He never wrote a song, yet has furnished the theme of more songs than all the songwriters combined. Our Lord never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast of all the students as he has following Him. Jesus never practiced medicine, but He healed more broken hearts and lives than the doctors have healed broken bodies. How can it be? He's above all, Brother Teddy. If nobody else gets it, me and you'll get it. Our Lord never marshaled an army, drafted a soldier, never fired a gun. No leaders ever had more volunteers who have under their orders made rebels stack arms or surrender without a shot being fired. Great men have come and gone, but Jesus lives on. Herod could not kill Him. Satan could not seduce Him. Demons of hell obeyed Him. Why? He's above all. Jesus had nothing He could call His own. He was born in a borrowed stable, rode in a borrowed beast, preached on a borrowed boat, was nailed to a borrowed cross, buried in a borrowed tomb at the crucifixion. The crucifixion of Jesus was the crime of all crimes. The innocent, O-1, died for the guilty. When Christ died on the cross, few men mourned, yet in heaven a black crape hung over the sun. Men did not tremble for their sins, but the earth shook under the burden of Calvary. All of nature honored Him, but sinners reject Him. Why, Brother Teddy? Why? He's above all. People wanted to cheer for a winning team and be on the winning side. If this is your desire, then follow Christ. He's number one. Number two, He's number three, He's number four, He's number five, He's number six, He's number seven, He's number eight, He's number ten, He's everything. Jesus says to me, my everything, and I'll bless the day He came. For all answer, wait and see what happens. Some think He's losing, but wait till the ninth inning. Christ will come take His rightful place and rule this world from the city of Jerusalem with a rod of iron. All the prophecies of Scripture will be fulfilled. You know why? He's above all, Brother Teddy. A big deal's made of UFOs and close encounters and aliens from other worlds. Mankind has had a close encounter with the Son of God. Jesus came from above all, from the bosom of the Father, to walk among us and to do God's will. You know why? He's above all. Hey, if you believe everything you read, try the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down. Thank You, You're above all. In Jesus' name, amen.